Hello, everyone, and welcome to SeaView Quantum Network. I'm your presenter, Daniel, and I'm here with producer Claudia Pareco. Our opening song features Sunset Serenade by Cycland. Albums and singles are available in all music stores and platforms. A moment of your time is one of the most extraordinary gifts we could ever be given. Each week, we create a place for you to rest your heart by providing the platform for peaceful connection to the most gifted light workers, intuitive, alternative healers who will surprise you with something different, something outside of what's expected, innovative and unique. Our shows are held on Fridays at 12 p.m. Eastern U.S. time and 9 a.m. Pacific time. At any moment to participate on our shows, please call 805-830-8344 and press 1 to talk with the host. Take My Call. At any moment before or during the show, you can opt for Take My Call and jump the long line of callers. We are now following the Pay What You Can business model. You pay what you feel our services are worth to you. You can send a payment using paypal.me/PUREco and add the amount that you want. To request a show, please write to Claudia Pareco at cview1111@gmail.com or visit our website, cview1111.net. Now, close your eyes and get in touch with the present, the only reality. Feel your body, feel your breath, and let it drift back to the present moment.
Everybody to SeaView 2024, and today's show, Healing the Shadow, we are so happy to present shaman, healer, author, Ross Bishop. And today, this show is about the third edition of his upcoming book, The Healing the Shadow, and it is going to be available, the hard book, in May 22nd, but next week it's going to be available, the ebook, by going to his website, rossbishop.com. You're going to find this book and other books that the author has written that we cannot recommend more than today. So we are so thrilled. And I am so thrilled, believe me, to be your guide as we embark on a transformative journey of healing and self-discovery. Today, we are going to delve into the profound wisdom of Ross Bishop's acclaimed book, Healing the Shadow, exploring its timeless teachings and upcoming release of its third edition. In this special edition, we'll unravel the mysteries of ancient shamanic practice adapted from the modern seekers as Ross Bishop shares insights on confronting limiting beliefs, embracing truth, and reclaiming our innate wholeness. Join us as we explore the mechanisms of healing, the power of self-liberation, and the path to spiritual peace amidst life's challenges. We're going to hear about testimonies echoing the life-changing impacts of healing the shadow. Today, we promise that we are going to turn on a little light to illuminate your path towards self-empowerment, towards authenticity, and inner peace. So sit back, open your heart, and prepare to embark on a journey of profound transformation as we welcome our guest show, Ross Bishop. Thank you so much to be here with us, Ross.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. I think we got to stop with profound wisdom, though. It's going to go downhill from there. But I'll try my best, okay? The basic dilemma that I think we're all in is this struggle between what we believe and the truth. And there's a lot more to this, so if you'll bear with me, I'll try and explain. We come in with issues to resolve. They're not visible to anything. We're not told about them. And there's a reason for that, and it has to do with our free will, and I'm going to come back to that in a minute. But the point is, those vulnerabilities create a set of beliefs in us through our childhood experiences. You know, mom or dad does something, and it doesn't fit, and so we're left to believe with, gosh, there's something wrong with me. I'm not lovable. I'm not worthy enough, whatever the particular thing may be. And so the struggle of life is to bring those beliefs into conflict with the truth so that we have the opportunity to resolve them. And as I said before, with free will, it had to be this way because we have to resolve those for ourselves. They can't be given to us. So if you will, the road to enlightenment is filled with potholes, but those potholes are purposeful because every conflict you ever have is only a problem until we introduce our beliefs into the particular situation, and then they become a difficulty, if you understand what I mean by the difference in the terms. You know, an issue is just something we resolve. A difficulty is where we come up against what we believe, and that makes life difficult. Now, if I say to you, what do you believe? You're going to say, well, I'm a good person, and that's basically true. But there are those moments when you get scared, when you get anxious, where you feel threatened, where you turn into a bit of something else. And so the point here is that what life on earth is about is to help you reconcile that conflict between who you believe you are in those moments of desperation or fear or whatever you want to say, and the truth, which is you really are something very special. But we don't own that. We don't appreciate the depth of how special we are, I guess I want to say. And so we fall back into these beliefs, and so we go through this process of life going through our conflicts. Now, the thing about conflict is that each conflict gives you the opportunity to step back, look at what you brought into the situation, and resolve it. My case in point is that if you take the situation and if you could view yourself as coming into that situation with complete compassion, notice how things would change. And that's my point in terms of dealing with the conflict between who we really are and who we believe we are. So I'm loath to go from there, but are there any questions or do you have any questions so far?
Yes, one of the things that when you were talking about beliefs, and in my own journey, and probably most of us, it's like we are encountered with numerous beliefs. Like once you think that one belief you have solved it, you have loved it, you have resolved it, then you turn around and it's almost like an endless list of beliefs that come right after that, and it keeps you wondering, am I ever going to be solving all of them, or is life, the purpose of life, only to have beliefs after beliefs after beliefs to be solved?
I think the answer is that so long as you have beliefs of any kind, and okay, I'll talk about beliefs in a minute, but so long as you have beliefs, you're going to have conflicts. Now, here's the point. Beliefs come out of your head. It's something you've thought about, something you've accepted for yourself, okay? but the truth resides in your heart. And so the difference in between the two is significant. And as long as you hold the beliefs that are in your mind, you're going to create conflicts with life, because that conflicts with who you truly are. It conflicts with the truth that came from God. For example, if I say to you, all people are created equal, now that's a universal truth, and it resides someplace outside your mind. You can hear it, you can believe it, whatever, but it's not something really that you've created. If you feel it, you'll feel that it comes from your heart. It doesn't come from your mind, okay? So to answer your question, so long as you have beliefs, you're going to have conflicts. And it's the resolution of those conflicts that life on earth is really about.
Thank you. So in Killing the Shadow, the book, you delve into the concept of shadow work. Is mm-hmm. shadow work related to working with these limiting beliefs and emotional ones?
If you think about your beliefs, okay, they are expressions of what we call the shadow, okay? They are the part of you that goes with you, like your shadow does every day. And it's the place from which your negative beliefs about yourself come from. It's where your fears are developed. Your fears are within yourself, but this is like an amplifier that makes the belief bigger than I guess I could say it really needs to be. Does that answer your question?
Yes. So can you repeat that statement that you said before? As long as I have beliefs, I have something to resolve?
Well, again, you'll find that as you deal with your beliefs and come to accept the truth about yourself, what happens is life gets a whole lot better, because the difficulties we have in life are because of the conflicts that our beliefs create. You know, blacks are this, or women are this, or Hispanics are a certain way. And when I bring those beliefs into situations, much less I am inferior, or I'm insecure, or I'm not good enough, or I'm not lovable. When you bring those into situations, they're going to create conflicts. Okay, so as you resolve them, when you resolve them, life gets a whole lot better, because you're not burdening these situations with your beliefs, with your negative, whatever it is, negative energy, whatever you want to call it, about either yourself or about other people.
So, Ross, it would be more like, if a belief that I have creates emotions or negative emotions within me, that's how I know that's a belief and not a truth. Because a truth would always give me peace and understanding. But a belief, there's always some type of conflict or negative emotion attached.
Yes, if you go into a situation with another person, okay, and let's say you don't feel that you are worthy, that's a belief, okay, you're going to introduce energy into that situation which is going to keep the two of you from being in harmony, or at least being as harmonic as you could be, okay? So as you resolve that, as you come to terms with the fact that you aren't the person that you have believed that you are, when you come to accept the truth about yourself, okay, then you'll come to this other person, and the relationship will be harmonious or more harmonious, because you've resolved the belief that you are or are not worthy. And that goes to you know, being lovable, being worthy, I don't know, all kinds of qualities that we bring into these things. And as you resolve them, and please, the thing to pay attention to is that when you have those feelings and you have an interaction with another, you're going to feel conflict inside yourself. So this isn't always just about conflict with another person. It's that inner tension also. And that's all that is a signal that's saying something isn't aligned in your system. Something, there's something you need to look at so that you can change it.
So that's one of the central themes of your book, that mm-hmm. idea of confronting beliefs of unworthiness and unlovability. Now, how do these beliefs usually manifest in our lives so we can understand better? And what strategies or exercises would you recommend for readers and listeners to begin dismantling these deeply ingrained patterns?
Okay. This gets a little complicated, but let me try.
Okay.
It starts out, these things we hold about ourselves get manifested in childhood. You know, we bring up issues in our parents, they bring up issues in us, and so that's where our basic beliefs are created, okay? So for you, the adult, the solution to this is to go back and get to know your inner child. You know, talk with her, get to know what she feels, and most importantly, what she believes about herself. Because those feelings, those beliefs were created in childhood, and that gets carried forward, and that's what you believe today, okay? So if you can show her the truth, which is that she's not unworthy, or that she is lovable, or that she is all the other things that she believes, and you do that by giving her love, by giving her support, and then you can go back when she feels a little safer and look at what happened when you were a child. Look at what happened in the interaction between yourself and your parents that caused you to feel this way. And the thing is, all of the time, I'm not even going to say 99%, I mean all of the time, what happened was that you conflicted in some way with what your parents believed. And that led to the creation of, I'm not good enough, I'm not worthy. The way this happens is that mom or dad is upset with me, there must be something wrong with me. And that begins this train that gets carried then through the rest of your life. And it's based all on untruth. There is no child that is unworthy, but we end up making virtually every child feel that way. And that's not accidental. This is the Creator's process for helping us to eventually learn that we are wonderful, that we are special, that we are not the things that we believe that we are. And it's a bumpy road, and you can complain to the Creator about the process if you ever get the chance. But my point is, this is the path that He set out for us. And it is, as I said earlier, it's a bumpy road, but it's an intentional bumpy road. He means for us to have conflicts either within ourselves or with others so that we can resolve these parts of ourselves that we brought in to finish. And this is how it happens.
And all of this is just a mirror, right, Ross? Like thinking about myself or ourselves, our
yeah.
soul as being perfectly beautiful and perfect. They are perfect. They don't have any stain. But we come to life like to play these all of these issues. It's just a mirror in life so we can play all of these symptoms or conflicts and all of these unworthiness, because it's only while we are in body that we feel that way, right?
I'm going to say yes and no to you. because you brought these things in. So they didn't originate here on Earth, okay? You brought them in with you to work on. So they're in your soul, if you will. And it's the resolution of those that life on Earth has been created for. Now, I had a thought and I just lost it. I'm sorry. But if you think about the distance between where you are and your soul, that's an illustration of the work that you've yet to do. And the thing is, there's no other way to go here. that there's no other route. You're going to have to go through this gate to personhood that God has created for us, okay? And the only way to do that is to resolve the distance, the conflict between who you really are and who you believe that you are. And those are going to cause bumps in your life until you resolve them. So the point is, yeah, your soul, your higher self, whatever you want to call it, comes in and it is blemished, but it's blemished in the sense that God is not finished with you yet. It's not that there's something wrong with you. And that's the place that most of us go. We feel like we are unworthy. We feel like we're unlovable, whatever, whatever, whatever. And the truth is that it's just simply because God is not finished with us. We've got work to do. We've got learning to do. And that's why we have come to Earth.
You know, Russ, when you mention things like this and how you have that inner child that has all these insecurities and all of these feelings of unworthiness, and many of them are caused by our parents, I feel so bad because I feel like I have done that to my children, and I feel mortified of thinking that in order for them to solve whatever it is that they are solving, that I have played that role in their lives. And it feels like it's a not-ending chain of this thing happening again and again and again for eternity. Is there a way, have you thought of a way, or have you ever imagined a way to break with that once and for all, or is this not possible?
It's a good question. Okay. Understand that the system that you are in is perfect. You have things to learn and your children have things to learn. Okay. And the combination of those two is perfect. We tend to think of our existence as sort of random, and it's not. Your parents were chosen for you because they needed to learn issues and you were chosen for them, kind of on the opposite side of those issues in terms of what you need to bring, what you brought in, and what you need to resolve. So my point is, it's a perfect system. You merge perfectly with them in the creation of conflicts, which sounds really crazy, but the point is those conflicts are what we come here to resolve. Your parents have things they need to look at. You have things you need to look at. And the combination of the two is sometimes really, really grisly because of the problems it creates. But those problems are the very grain, the sauce, if you will lead to your enlightenment. So, yeah, this is a pain in the butt sometimes. But it leads to a very constructive end if you'll work with it. The problem is most of us feel the conflict, and we get lost in the conflict, and we don't do anything to learn from it. And that's the tragedy of these situations, if you will. But the point is, again, you're going to continue this system until you get it. So, you know, is it this lifetime? Is it the next lifetime or the one after? You choose. You decide.
Yeah, and I have asked myself that question. Like, I have asked, so how much time do I need to do this? And then the same time, there has been a response with the question, asking myself, okay, so how much time do you want to give yourself?
Yeah.
And then like, oh, interesting. So yeah, endless, right? Like if you ask me, how much time am I willing to give myself to resolve whatever is inside, I would not put a limit to that because I don't have a limit.
The issue is brings us up to the concept of time, because in the Creator's world, time doesn't exist, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a question of how willing are you to deal with the difficulties that come up in your life. Because the sooner you resolve those, then the sooner you've got to go on to whatever it is that's next for us. But, you know, if you choose to stay mired in the pain and the agony and the difficulties of living in this world, then you're going to stretch out your recovery time. And the thing is, you have total control of this. It's not influenced so much, and I'm being shady here with my answer because there are outside influences that sometimes bother us. So I don't want to ignore those, but that's a whole other discussion. My point is, if you're going to choose to stay stuck in your potholes, then you're going to lengthen out the time it takes for you to resolve what you came here to do. But the point is, you're going to go there. You're going to finish this. It's just a question of how long you will take to get there.
And Russ, another question about that is, going back to your book, I was reading in your book that, well, this is the third edition. The first edition, you wrote it in 1998. And
yeah.
Now the third, 2024, is going to be, what is, 26 years after?
Yeah.
What is it that made you change the book every so often into including what? What was different from the first one?
The honest answer to that is I understand a lot more than I did when I first wrote the book. And so what I've tried to do is to put in what I periodically know into a form that I can share it with others. And this has largely come because of the students and the apprentices that I've worked with, because they have helped me to deepen my own experience. And so I'm sitting here reading the manuscript, for example, of the book that's just going to come out, and I realize there are things that I've learned since then that I'm going to want to include in the next version if I live that long, okay? So it's just an issue of where I was at the particular time and what I understood. This understanding of the dynamics of the conflict between our beliefs and the truth has only come to me in the last couple of years that I really understood it. So, for example, I took that insight and then developed it into the third edition of the book.
And I can see that, because I don't know if you, well, you just said that it's been the last 2 years, and probably in those last 2 years as well, I have seen with the show, with my own thought process, how many things are changing and how the ideas that I couldn't even think of before. It's almost like they are rising, and our brains or our thoughts are expanding in such a way that we are able to see and understand things from a different perspective. And with that different perspective of the view of life and its mysteries, it's almost like we're getting a... It's funny because it's wider but narrower, and it's clearer, but also more difficult. I don't know. It's a very strange sensation that you have right now, where things like working with a shadow, you're healing your inner self, understanding your thoughts, what is true, what is believed, is getting to a next level. And I think your book is covering a lot of that, is this new part of our lives, in this new shift of the era that we are living, and it's making us think different.
It is. And if you think about this, it wasn't terribly long ago that we lived in castles, that everybody, guys carried swords, or here in the Southwest where I live, you know, people carried pistols. And why? What was that about? And look at how far we've come just in a short time. So you're right. And I think what you're expressing is the evolution of the human spirit. And it seems to me that we're on a much faster track today than we have been in the past. I remember, you know, my childhood in the 1950s and you know, where the world was and where people were. And my God, we were terribly blind. I mean, we just didn't understand. And I look at the kids today and I go, wow, you know, their understanding is so much deeper than mine was when I was their age. So, yeah, I think it is an expression of how far we have come in a relatively short time.
And then when writing your book and your work, you have gone across five continents. You have been studying with various spiritual teachers and healers. So how have these diverse influences shaped your understanding of healing and spirituality? And how have you been able to integrate these teachings into the framework of healing the shadow?
Well, I started out as a business person, okay? And I was locked into that set of beliefs for many years. And I was absolutely miserable. I didn't really know how miserable I was at the time, but I was not happy. So it was building. And I started to meditate at an ashram in Minneapolis. And the more I sat, the more I realized how unhappy I was. So I just quit my job and took off. And so the process of going from there to here has been, you know, bringing my beliefs to various teachers and having them bounce back and say, you know, is that really true? Is that what you really believe? I mean, that's what was essentially what the whole process was about. It took a bunch of years and, you know, had to work through my resistance and my rigidity. But it was like, if you think about this, if you think about what Christ really taught, if you think about what Buddha really taught, if you think about what Muhammad really taught, if you look at Taoism, if you look at you know, any religion, Christ wasn't a Christian. Buddha wasn't a Buddhist. What they taught was love. What they taught was compassion. And then we built religions around these people. But the point is, all of these guys or people that I worked with taught basically one thing, and that was that we got to learn to love one another, which is closer to the truth of where we are most days.
Yeah, and it doesn't seem like it has remained that way. I agree with you. It's like I don't know why, and well, that's the way the world works, into getting someone a message and distorting in such a way. And then for some reason, that distorted message attracts the masses in such a way that to me, many times I'm amazed at our capacity to follow someone's ideals without questioning and without understanding what they really mean.
If you think about this, and look at it as I have, we make these associations because of the wounds that we carry. I mean, if you look at the whole Donald Trump thing right now, for example, listen to those people carefully and listen for their woundedness. And they're all expressing this pain that's inside themselves that he gives them an out for. He makes it kind of okay. And I don't mean to just pick on the Trumpers out there, but this is true of any social issue, whether you look at environmentalism or you look at business, whatever. If you look at the core beliefs that underlie whatever system there is, you will find wounded children. And this is kind of interesting, because that drives us to want to change the environment, to want to change the this or that to make it better. And the basic drive is that we're trying to heal ourselves. And so, again, it's kind of screwy, but it all comes down to the same thing. We're all struggling, whether we realize it or not, to resolve the dilemma between ourselves and our beliefs with the truth. And it just takes a lot of different colors as we walk through society.
And Chris, at the beginning we have been talking about healing the shadow.
Uh-huh.
What is the shadow exactly?
I'm sorry, please say it again.
Yeah, what is the shadow? So how can we define the shadow?
Think about the truth, if you can, okay? and then look at your beliefs. That is one way to vision the dark side of ourselves. You know, where do you go when you feel threatened? Where do you go when you feel anxious? Where do you go when you're feeling insecure or anxious or shameful? Those are expressions, and it's only a term, but we put them in this bucket, which we call the shadow. And so it's that dark side of ourselves that's always with us, okay, that walks with us into every situation.
But Russ, that is also inside of me.
Well, they ain't nothing else, okay? I mean, there's the truth, which is hanging out someplace out there in the universe, and then there's what we create because of our beliefs. And there really isn't anything else.
So in the process of healing the shadow, are mm-hmm. we bringing light into ourselves? And how do we know that we are actually working in the right direction or in favor of the shadow?
Well, the thing is, there is no other road. See, the thing is, if you live your life, okay, and you have conflict, that tells you that you're not, there's something wrong in your system. There's something going on that's not in alignment with the truth. And so whatever road you take, you're going to end up in the same place eventually. The question really is how much difficulty you're going to create for yourself on the way to get there. So it's really not a question of which destination do I choose. There's only one place to go. But the real question is how much pain am I going to put myself through to get there?
Now, in your book, Healing the Shadow, when readers are going through the book, the third edition, do they have... you know, the tools to follow or something to guide them into this work with the shadow?
And the answer is yes. And in this sense, okay, the key for us is to develop a working and wonderful relationship with our inner child, okay? And there's a lot more to be said about that. And frankly, we don't have all the time that I'd like to really get into that. But the point is, that process will lead us to deal with our beliefs eventually. Because if you begin to talk with your inner child and find out where she's afraid and why she's afraid and why she wants to do the things she wants to do, it's pretty evident where it is she gets off the track. And she doesn't mean to. She doesn't have any choice. It's what she's been taught. It's what she has come to believe about herself. And you can stand there and you have a much better sense of the truth right now than she does. And so you can help her to change her belief set that brings you more in alignment with the truth. And that makes your bumpy road a lot smoother. But it's the same road. It's just some of us choose to pick roads that are a lot more bumpy than others.
Yeah, so that was my next question. So we are working with our inner child. Mm-hmm. And you say some people have it more bumpy than others. Does that depend on the life experiences that you have had in your childhood? Or
yes.
Does that depend on what you bring into this life from before?
They're both the same because your difficulties are going to shape your experience. They're going to determine, you know, if you take an inner relationship with another person, okay, what you bring into that relationship is going to shape how that relationship turns out, where it goes. And so that is one is a factor of the other. And so it's what do I need, if you will, to wake me up to what I'm doing, to what I believe, to what I'm bringing into these situations that's getting me in trouble. And so, you know, you have certain needs. I have certain needs. Others have different needs. You will create what you need, even though it's difficult and painful. And God knows I wish it wasn't here, but that will give you the opportunity to shift your beliefs. And I don't mean to ice over it here to say it's just an easy process, because it's not. Dealing with what's inside raises a great deal of anxiety because of what we believe. We don't believe that we're worthy enough to stand in the light. And until we come to that place where we begin to understand that we are worthy, then we're out here in the shadows, to use the term, trying to live our lives, you know, go by each day. And, you know, we tend to accept a life of some difficulties and we just say, well, that's the way life is. But it's not. It's not how life has to be. That's a product of how we choose to live.
Do you have some examples of how in your work you have helped some of your patients with issues like this?
Wow. How do I go back? I mean, I've spent a great deal of my practice helping people who were sexually abused, okay? And that's a pretty extreme set of problems.
Mm-hmm.
What happens is that the abuse happens, and that creates or facilitates a set of beliefs in the person about their worthiness, about their worth, about how worthwhile they are. And the thing is, as the example I raised with your parents, this was done to you. It didn't have anything to do with you. In fact, you'd rather that it didn't have happened, okay? But what it does to your beliefs are just unbelievable. And so by connecting with that wounded inner child and helping her to see that the abuse wasn't her fault, that she didn't create the circumstances that led to this, we begin to free her from the burden of all of those heavy things that she carries from the abuse. Now, I'm thinking also of other people I've helped, for example, with woman who had strokes. We help her mind, if you will, to reorganize, and so that she's no longer affected by strokes. But that's the essential thing. There's what we do is we try and resolve the distance between the truth and what the inner child particularly believes. And the dilemma here is a lot of the time the adult picks, or all of the time really, the adult picks up the beliefs of the child and then acts them out. So in dealing with the child, we're also helping to heal the adult.
And Russ, what is the connection between resolving a belief and having, let's say, a physical issue resolved? Like, you resolve a belief and immediately the physical gets released, or usually the physical symptom has many types of beliefs attached, or it could be either?
The issue with the body is it has to do with tension. If we're not acting in a compassionate way, either with ourselves or with other people, you're going to create stress in yourself. And if you do that long enough, the tissues of the body begin to break down. And in some cases, that's not repairable. In other cases, you know, you can help turn that around. But the point is, the longer you stay in this state of difficulty, then your body is going to respond. And unfortunately, that can lead to cancer or heart disease or, you know, any number of other kinds of problems. And as I say, some of them are not reversible, or at least I'm not a good enough healer to be able to turn some of those around. But some of the other things we can resolve, because the damage to the tissue hasn't been so severe.
And now many readers that have read your books, they have found profound healing and spiritual peace through your work.
Yes.
So if you were to tell one of your most impactful stories or testimonials, what would that be?
Well, I think the one person who said this is the book that changed my life really struck home for me, because, you know, that's really what this is about. This whole business of dealing with our beliefs, coming to know the truth, is going to dramatically change your life. And so that person was reflecting the place that I come from, which is that's the purpose that I'm here for. That's a purpose that we are all here for. So that's the one that sticks in my mind. But, gosh, I don't know. We've got other people who've said, you know, it has liberated me to live passion and truly embrace life. Or somebody else said, it's not easy work, but it's worthwhile work. And then there's one guy, I remember, he said, I keep healing a shadow by my bedstead at night, and I read a little before I go to sleep. And it's like, I'm going, wow. You know, that's a pretty wonderful endorsement. So those are just a few. But I've got
now,
five.
I know. So when you go to, if people go to your website, rossbishop.com, and they can click into books and CDs, and they can see that you have many other books. You have Finding Inner Peace, About Life, Journey to Enlightenment, Truth, and then also there's a CD, Shamanic Journey. Of all of these works, what is the one that is closer to your heart?
Ooh, you're asking me to pick my favorite child here, okay?
I want to tell the others.
Okay. No, what I'd also like to add to that, by the way, is I write a lot, and there are a lot of articles on the website about various parts of life and this philosophy and shamanism. So if you want to learn more, there are a ton of articles there. But I have to say the foundation piece for my work is Healing the Shadow. These other books are all purposeful in looking at particular aspects of that. There's one book that deals with the dilemmas of finding enlightenment, for example, because there are some unique problems that are presented there. About Life is a look at living in the world and then dealing with life from an enlightened perspective. So each has a fit depending on the person's needs at that particular time.
And now tell us a little bit about your work as a shaman and a healer. How can people contact you, and what are the, how can they contact you for what type of work?
Well, okay, if you're having trouble, the dilemma here is that, you know, if you have a set of beliefs, okay, and they're pretty strong, and you know, you come against those and you're going, my God, I don't know how to resolve this. I don't know how to get past this. This is where a guide, a good shaman, can help enormously as a guide to kind of help you through the process. If you think about the steps, this is really where people in the past have turned to religion as a crutch to help them through these difficult periods. Now, I've got some problems with that approach, but you know, the dynamic is basically the same. So if you're looking to get out of this mess that you've created for yourself and you don't know where to go, you don't know what to do, you want to get yourself a good shaman. You know, they can contact me through my website. If they want to try and schedule something, I work with a few people anymore. But I would mostly going to recommend my apprentices, who are fully trained and incredibly capable and do good jobs. So, you know, but let me know what's going on for you, and we'll go from there.
And you do sessions in person and online as well, or
yeah. These days, almost everything I do is online. I've got, although I absolutely love face to face. I'm dealing with people all over the world these days, so the internet's been a godsend for people like myself. And by the way, Just if you want an email address, it's ross@rossbishop.com. Write me. Let me know what you think, what you feel, what your needs are. We'll figure it out from there.
Okay, Russell, as we come to the end of our discussion, what message or insight would you like to leave our audience with?
What I would say is if you go to your heart and you know the truth and you feel the truth, then what you want to do is to change your life so that you live from that place. Because that's where you're going to go anyway. That's where you're headed. So you might as well shortcut all this gobbledygook stuff and just go for the truth. Find compassion for yourself, for other people. That's what it's really all about.
And just one more question. Is my
yeah.
truth the same as your truth? Is that a universal truth?
Yes. There's no difference.
So it's just the way that we express that truth, correct?
Yes. Yes. And it's, again, you can warp that with your mind, okay? But if it's coming from your heart, if you know it's real, and the key here is if it brings compassion into the situation, you know you're on the right track.
Well, and what do you hope for readers that will take away from their journey through healing the shadow, and how can they continue to apply the teachings in their daily life?
Well, what the book is about is bringing your inner child into harmony with the truth. And if you do that, she's the one who's creating the difficulties that you experience today because she's afraid, because she believes certain things about herself. So if you give her the love and compassion that she desperately needs, she'll begin to blossom out into compassion for yourself and for other people.
Thank you. So at the end, what is going to happen with that inner child? Will you eventually get melt with it and disappears, or will that inner child ever become an adult?
Become a what, please?
An adult.
The child always has this part of us. If you think about children, okay, there is a part of you that loves flowers, that loves puppy dogs, that loves kittens, and that doesn't change. But what's happened right now is largely we are isolated from those feelings. We are isolated from that part of ourselves that once loved those things. So what happens is you begin to bring those back into your daily life. There is a merging which occurs where it's like if I'm going to do something, I know immediately how my child feels about it. And then I can work together and work my way through that situation. So he sort of merges back, but not completely in my experience.
Thank you. So is there anything else that I have not asked that you would like to mention at this point?
Boy, nothing comes to mind. I think I appreciate the time and thank you for your listeners. Thank you for taking the time to spend with us, and thank you very much for your help.
Could you mind sharing one more time your website, and when can we get Healing the Shadow and all of that information?
Okay. The website is www.rossbishop.com. You can go ahead and one of us, we've got to change it. And we're not quite there yet. Probably by tomorrow or the next day, you'll be able to go and order the new book. The ebook will be there tomorrow, as far as I know. And so you can order that. And if you want to contact me, it's ross@rossbishop.com.
Well, thank you so much, Ross, for that information, for all these wisdom that you didn't like that word of you, but it's a lot of wisdom, a lot of knowledge, many years of experience, and it's just it's truth to our hearts and to our understanding. And I commend you for the work you're doing, and you're always, always welcome to come back to the show.
Thank you very much. May God be with you.
Thank you as well.